Welcome to a series of kosher tidbits, which will examine various aspects of keeping a kosher home. These presentations are based on a series of seminars originally given in Congregation Ahavas Israel in Passaic, New Jersey, in early 2011, dedicated to the memory of Mrs. Kathy Cummins, Zichrona Livracha. The OU expresses its appreciation to the Mara D'Asra of this congregation, Harav Ron Yitzchak Eisenman, for allowing the seminars to be posted on the OU website. It scarcely bears mentioning that the separation of dairy and meat lies at the very bedrock of a kosher kitchen. To this end, a kosher kitchen has two sets of utensils, one dedicated to dairy and the other to meat. Questions abound as to the use of heavy appliances. Is there a way to use them for both dairy and meat? Let us start with the stove. Prevalent practice does not require the dedication of burners to either dairy or meat. This is due primarily, if not exclusively, to the fact that spillovers and the like are immediately incinerated. To be sure, if one would see dairy residue on a burner, it should be removed before the placement of a meaty utensil there, and vice versa. All of this notwithstanding, one should avoid placing food and utensils directly on the surfaces between burners, as the kosher status of that surface is questionable at best. A spill on a smooth ceramic stovetop is particularly worrisome due to the fact that ceramic is typically not kosherable. It's worth mentioning that hanging utensils over a stovetop poses some risk. The zeya, vapor, coming off a dairy food is considered dairy. Similarly, the vapor coming off meaty foods is considered meaty. Meaty vapor can render a dairy utensil non-kosher if the vapor is hot enough on contact. The same is true for dairy vapor touching meaty utensils. And whatever the vapor's temperature, the condensate can also be problematic. No one wants dairy droplets on their meaty utensils, and vice versa. The issues posed by the use of the conventional contemporary oven are discussed by the Poskim, the halachic authorities. One issue that must be addressed is zeya, the vapor. As mentioned earlier, vapor has the halachic status of the food that exudes it. As such, an oven's surface may become meaty or dairy. And a dairy food may be rendered non-kosher by absorbing a meaty vapor, and vice versa. Another issue that must be addressed is reicha, aroma. The aroma given off by a food has the halachic status of the food that exudes it. As such, a dairy food may become meaty from a meaty food's aroma, and vice versa. Taking these issues into account, some poskim require the dedication of the oven to either dairy or meat. If, for example, one would dedicate the oven to meat, dairy items would have to be wrapped in two layers when cooked in the oven. These two layers prevent the meaty oven and the dairy food from rendering each other non-kosher. If one covers the food in a foil tray, only one more layer is needed. Some poskim reject the need for dedicating the oven to either dairy or meat. Instead, they only require the koshering of the oven in between meat use and dairy use. How is this koshering accomplished? First, the oven and its racks should be cleaned of any residue. Then, with the racks inside, turn on the oven to its highest temperature for an hour and a half to 2 hours. This constitutes the koshering method known as Libun Kal. There is a subgroup among these poskim who say that 24 hours of downtime after the cleanup is required before doing Libun Kal, in other words, before koshering, by turning the oven to its highest temperature. A third group of poskim maintains that dedication of the oven to either meat or dairy is unnecessary, And even koshering in between meat and dairy is unnecessary as well. Instead, all these poskim require is that the roof, racks, and walls be clean of dairy residue before heating meat, and vice versa. There is a subgroup among these poskim who maintain that after the cleaning from dairy residue, one should wait until the oven cools down before using it for meat, and vice versa. Since we are dealing with switching from kosher dairy to kosher meat and back again, the broiler and its rack may be koshered in the same way as one koshers the oven chamber and its racks. It scarcely bears mentioning that one should have separate oven mitts for meat and dairy. However, after a mitt has been washed with hot water and detergent, its use may be switched from meat to dairy, and vice versa. The use of countertops for meat and dairy is made possible by the adoption of one of two approaches. The simplest, of course, is to dedicate one region for dairy and the other for meat. The second approach is to keep hot food and utensils from making direct contact with the countertop. Rather, the hot items should only rest on a non-porous surface, such as heavy-duty aluminum foil. This is because a surface typically does not absorb food when the food is cold. Of course, when adopting this approach, any dairy residue should be cleaned off the counter before using the counter for meat and meaty utensils, and vice versa. In America, it's generally assumed that a microwave can be used for both meat and dairy if all food going into the microwave is double wrapped. This prevents the aromas, vapors, and residue from creating problems. Many kosher homes have two sinks, one for meat and one for dairy. This is a major convenience, but not an actual requirement. The use of one sink for meat and dairy dishes is made possible by having dedicated basins, sponges, and sponge racks, one for meat and one for dairy. In this way, the dairy and meat dishes never come in contact with each other or the sink surface. A refrigerator may be used for meat and dairy, provided one takes the appropriate precautions. If the racks in the refrigerator are like grates, food can fall from a higher rack to a lower rack. In such cases, a person should dedicate one side of the fridge to dairy and the other to meat. On the other hand, if the rack is more of a shelf than a grate, it suffices to dedicate shelves. In all cases, the key is to ensure that foods and drinks are properly covered and sealed, thereby avoiding cross-contamination between dairy and meat and between parv and non-parv. Toaster ovens are very difficult to clean and as such should be dedicated to either meat or dairy. Even when dedicated, toaster ovens pose a unique problem for the kosher homemaker. Often, if not always, toaster ovens are tested in the factory with non-kosher bread before being shipped out. Rav Herschel Schechter has ruled that this issue can be addressed by turning the toaster oven to its highest temperature and leaving it there for 10 minutes. One should not start counting the 10 minutes until one is confident that the toaster oven has first gotten to its highest temperature. Thank you for tuning in to this installment of Kosher Tidbits. In our next installment, we will, God willing, discuss the well-known phenomenon known as DE, as well as the potential kashrus pitfalls with knives. Thank you.